Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Mac Show. I'm Jeff Gamet. I'm your interim host, sitting in for Ewan Rankin. And we totally were channeling our inner Ewan today, because instead of starting the show when we started the show, we've just been sitting here chatting for half an hour and then finally realized, oh, we should do the intro. So, yeah, you know, we've done enough of a show at this point. I think we can tell people about the live chat, and then we'll tell everyone how much we love Odd Technologies, do our cool things, and wrap up. And well, actually, we should do a couple other things first, I suppose. Yeah. And I was thinking, since we now have a week under our belts of or in Patrice's case, under our purses, of having the new iPhones, new Apple Watches, new AirPods, and cases. And I did finally get a chance to go into an Apple store and look at the new stuff. We should do a follow-up. What do you think of your new Apple gear after a week?
Love it.
Love it.
Love it. I upgraded from the 16 Pro Max, so you mm-hmm. would think not a lot of difference. It's actually more than I thought. Like, I mean, I bought it expecting not like a massive difference. And it's bigger than you think. Like the battery life is slightly longer, and we have the SIM tray still, so we get even a little bit less battery life than the US version gets. I don't know how much, but it's like at least a little bit. And it's longer. The camera is actually a little bit better, surprisingly. Not quantum leap, hey, this looks like crap before and this is better, but like you can tell the difference if you know what you're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a little bit nicer all around, and I love the colors, I have to say. Like, that's my favorite feature, like all the colors, orange especially, just great.
You know, after going into the Apple store to look at the phones, and you're muted, Dave, I was actually really impressed with the orange. I thought I would gravitate to the blue on the Pro models. And I think the blue on the iPhone 12 Pro looks better than the blue on the 17 Pro.
Mm-hmm.
And the orange is just captivating. But
yes.
I liked the silver also, which surprised me because mm-hmm. I've never been into the silver. But I thought that looked good too. But the orange.
The orange. That, the color.
The orange, yeah. And then I went and checked out the iPhone Air.
Mm-hmm.
And while it's not the phone for me, as soon as I picked it up, I'm like, this is why Apple made this phone.
Mm-hmm.
When people touch this phone, they will covet it.
Yeah. So what you're saying is Apple made the phone for demos in store?
For demos in store, yes.
Yeah. No, I'm kidding.
No, I was really impressed with how that phone felt and looked.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went and checked out the fine woven cases, because, you know, there's the reputation for fine woven.
Mm-hmm.
I was surprised at
You mean
how
the tech
nice
woven cases?
Excuse me, the tech woven cases.
Yes.
I was surprised at how nice I thought they looked. And then I promptly picked one up and went,
yeah,
you really hurt. And you couldn't tell that I had done anything.
No, they're definitely. I mean, I've carried it around for a week, like everything, travel, everything, and you cannot tell. Like, it's not even dirty or anything.
Yeah, I was impressed. Oh, and the scuff marks that people talk about on the back of the phone. I found one Pro phone that mm-hmm. had some scuffs.
Yeah.
And I went like this and rubbed them right off.
Mm-hmm.
At least part of one. I didn't try and clean the whole back of the phone.
It's not you, like, you don't
the
get
whole
paid
thing
for
with,
that.
Oh, the phone gets scratched and it's
I would think it's mostly on this part of the
Yeah, that's where it
yeah,
was.
Yeah, that's where people are saying it happens. But I mean, I'm also like But how, like, the usage in store, how it's used there, is not how people would use it. I mean, people don't really pay attention to how they're using it.
Right. Yeah. And those magnets, the MagSafe holders in the store, unless they're going every day, multiple times a day through the store and like really sanitizing those.
They probably are, but it's still not enough.
Yeah, still not enough. Because people are holding the phone. So whatever's on their hands gets on the back of the phone.
Yeah.
They put it back on the magnet. Now it's on the magnet.
Yeah. Yeah. I know that the store staff is basically half of their job is cleaning. Like all day.
That doesn't surprise
me. Yeah, that does not surprise me either. And especially with Apple, like how obsessed Apple is with everything being pristine and perfect. For sure. Yeah. But no, it's as I said, like even if it was scuff marks, I'm 100% certain that like any phone would have that, because as I said, people like take it off, probably don't pay too much attention, put it back on, and that happens probably thousands and thousands of times a day for each phone. So that's not a usual thing that you would do.
No.
But at the same time, look, you're going to use your phone, all right?
Yeah,
and so
for sure.
They're going to be, you're going to drop it in the wrong pocket and your keys are going to be in there, or there's on the unlikely event there's change in there, because nobody uses change anymore. But, you know, there's going to be something in your pocket and, you know, it may do something.
Yeah.
People act like these things are supposed to be impervious to, you know,
everything. Yeah.
And it's like, no, if you have scratches on it already,
yeah,
sorry, you're abusing your phone. You're not taking any care of it. So put a case on it, suck it up, and just be quiet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I mean, if you are one of those, that's fine, but recognize that you're that kind of user.
Yeah. I would argue differently if it was, I bought it, I used it for 5 minutes, and I have scratches all over it, and I haven't done anything special. Mm-hmm. Like, then I would say, okay, that is a manufacturing flaw. But normal usage and normal wear and tear, and there might be a scratch eventually, it's normal. I mean, it's like luggage. I mean, I bought like really nice aluminum luggage. It's not, after one trip, it's not pristine anymore. That's actually part of the allure of the metal, because I'm like, it will wear, it will show that you've traveled with it, but every single one of them is a story, and like that makes it unique at the end. And I'm totally aware and okay with that. I wouldn't have bought it otherwise, to be honest.
Patrice, I think that's an interesting perspective on it, and unfortunately one that's not going to serve you well if and when you go to trade it in.
Yeah, for the phone, because, that's true.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. If you're talking about the luggage.
No, luggage I'm never going to be traded in, so don't care.
Luggage is the biggest scam in the world, because I have yet to walk through an airport and hear anybody say, hey, that guy over there has some really great luggage.
No. And you know exactly. No, and that's exactly also why I didn't buy it for that reason, that it looks nice. Like, no.
Yeah.
Like, don't care.
Yeah.
Like it's utilitarian for me. I like that it does look nicer than others and it's metal. But I'm said, I don't care if there's scuff marks on it, dents, whatever. I know that it will hold up over longer than other materials would be, especially with how much I'm traveling, and that's for me the point. Yeah, but with the phone, you're right. I mean, if you want to trade it in, but as you said, then I put a screen protector in, I put a case on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, and now I can, and I have a lanyard, so it's like, or the crossbody strap. So the likelihood that I drop it has decreased, and even if I do, not as much going to happen to it.
Right. I've been really enjoying mine. I don't notice there to be any weight difference. Maybe I think there is a couple grams, but you know, it's not noticeable. The camera, I've been really impressed with the extra zoom that I get. I've even been impressed with the digital zoom. I mean, look, it's not perfect by any means, but it is so much better than any digital zoom in the past so far. Because I even stretched it out a couple times to the 40X, and what I got back was, look, okay, if I zoom in, yes, it's pixelated. It's a little pixelated even if I don't zoom in. But
physics.
It certainly is. But it's certainly a recognizable image.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so, you know, it's not like it just completely goes witness protection on you. you know, I can definitely identify what I'm looking at. So, know, that in itself is kind of impressive for those people who really want to do that. The other thing, though, because I was very skeptical of this much, that much Zoom, even digital, it's surprisingly stable. It is, you know, it's not subject to the handshake like I expected it to be. And somebody on one of the shows pointed out that that's been something Apple has done at all the levels of Zoom. And I agree. But when you start stretching out to 40X, I thought, sure, I'd need a tripod. And what I got back, maybe I did not try it with a tripod because I didn't have one with me. But what I got back was, without a tripod, is usable, recognizing it for what it is. Maybe with the tripod, it might even be just a little better.
Yep.
I am looking forward to when I do get around to picking up a 17 Pro for the cameras.
Yeah. Bob Beach in the chat room says the iPhone Air is fantastic. The Pro Max is big, heavy, and ugly in comparison. Bob, you just called my girlfriend big, heavy, and ugly. That's not a good thing.
I completely disagree with him as well. I mean, I've been the Max user for, you know, as I've said many times, since iPhone 6 Plus. So it's always been a good size for me. I felt the Air. It's nice. It's thin. It is kind of cool. But I would fall back and want. I'd be fear of missing out of with the Max, because I like the bigger screen. I like the bigger phone, and I agree with Patrice. I think it is slightly lighter. It at least feels it.
No, I think it is a little bit.
Yeah, a couple of grams. Maybe it is too. Yeah,
couple of grams. It's not much. Like, it was literally basically a couple of grams difference.
Okay.
But going back to the camera, I talked about this last night on the show. That the selfie camera is just insane. I mean, being able to digitally switch to landscape mode without you having to flip the phone is kind of a game changer for a lot of folks who do a lot of selfies. I don't do a ton of selfies, but being able to do that and have the auto sensing of placing when people are on camera where it moves, some pretty nifty stuff that they've added to this camera and the camera quality. I mean, the photos are just the best. And having the access to a lot of the settings too, like you can toggle very easily between JPEG and RAW if you want to, as well as turning on and off the auto sensing, is cool too, as well as switching from JPEG to RAW if you want to. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a great thing.
So. Absolutely. Yeah, I usually do 48 megapixel, like full size.
And that's right. Yeah. You can go 24 or 48. You have the choice if you want. Mm-hmm. Go a little lower, because, you know, those 48 megapixel photos are going to be a little larger in size when you're sharing them. You get 10 and 15 megabyte photos, so
yeah, a little is an understatement.
Yeah.
Bob Beach is saying in the chat, and he's right, that the selfie camera is massive. Like, I tried it a couple of times now. I was traveling and with friends or whatever, and the fact that I don't have to, like, turn it around and then balance it and kind of like, oh, like, how do I do this to take a selfie without dropping the phone? And now I can literally just hold it up like I normally would, and I press the button and it works. So that is actually pretty convenient.
Dave, go ahead.
You got the folks that are very they're used to this. They want to go. Mm-hmm. They want to go in this mode all the time. And so many people forgot. And every time you see on this, social media, it's the wrong orientation. This now is a game changer.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, there's still one time when I have to do that, which is when I take a lot of spatial photos. So then I do it this way.
Yeah.
Because I need the two cameras. But that's okay, because then I'm not taking a selfie. So, like, I don't do spatial selfies. Like, the front camera doesn't anyway support it. So then it's okay. But, I mean, nobody says you can't do it. Like, it still works if you do it. It's not a problem. Mm-hmm. It's just you don't have to if you don't want to.
And we were talking about this on Dave's show last night just a little bit. And after the show, I spent a little time, longer than I should have, playing with the selfie camera and seeing what kind of quality. And I got great quality out of it. More than usable for this, for, you know, the idea that, if especially with video, if you're going to get in front of the camera, and you don't have anybody shooting for you, you want to be able to see, okay, do I need to move to the left, to the right, up, down, something. And now I've got a 4K front-facing camera, or back-facing, depending on your point of view, that actually is usable in that scenario. So I was, because I'd kind of forgotten about it amongst all the other things. And wow, it's impressive. Mm-hmm. So if you have that need to monitor yourself, by all means, check it out.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you.
All right, so I'm not hearing any buyer's remorse.
No, absolutely not.
Not even close.
The other thing that I bought that I have also zero regrets, and that was the one that I was kind of more hesitant about, even though I bought it right away, is the AirPods Pro. Because I had to choose. I had to choose. And I was like,
me too.
On paper, it doesn't sound like it's a massive difference. In reality... I still have the others, of course. I actually traveled with both just in case I needed to switch that I had the other ones. In reality, the little differences made all the difference. Like the better, actually massively better active noise cancellation, I didn't appreciate that much. I thought it was not that. I thought on paper it wasn't that much better because they compared it to the ones. And said it's 4 times better than the original ones. I'm like, okay, but how much better is it than the second gen? But it's actually, when you're on a plane, and before you always had a little bit background noise. Like on a plane, I usually do full on ANC because I'm like, there's so much noise. I just, I want to listen to my stuff and I don't want that background noise. So and usually you don't talk, or rarely at least.
Right.
So I put it on full. And on the old ones, you could still hear a little bit noise. Like, it was still coming through. On the 3s, it's basically silent. It's gone.
It is.
It's completely gone.
Okay.
To the point that like, apparently, like, someone from the crew was talking to me, and I looked at them, like, oh, I guess they're saying something. I couldn't hear it. And the conversation that we're in is apparently doesn't work as well on plates, probably because it's too much noise. So I had to take them out, and I'm like, oh, you're talking to me. Yeah. And a little bit longer battery life also made a difference because I almost made it through the entire trip from Lisbon back without putting them back in a charger. I think towards the end, I think it was still at 15%, and I probably could have made it all the way home, but I decided, okay, I'm deboarding. I'll throw them in real quick and then grab them a couple of minutes later and it's fine. I didn't have to, I think, but I was like, I didn't want to get them too far down.
Okay.
So that's it. Nice. Makes all the difference. And so far I have no problems with putting them in and them not charging. We'll see how that develops over time.
Yeah. Well, is that a thing?
Yeah. That was a massive problem I had. Constantly, that I would put them in and then one or the other or both wouldn't charge, and it's like the whole thing. And I've complained to Apple about it, and they checked it, and like, nothing wrong with them, like, doesn't work. They exchanged it once, doesn't work.
I missed that. That's interesting.
Yeah, Patrice, you're not the only person I have heard complain about that.
Yeah, no problem so far with these, like, fingers crossed.
The twos, yeah, it would be here and there. I would have a problem. Mm-hmm. But
yeah, it's like
I was just doing a comparison. I was testing the twos because I have, I admit I have another third pair with the lightning connector, and I wanted to just get them hooked up and make sure they were good, and I'd start testing them. So I put the twos on and listened and play a couple songs and okay, and then I put these on, noticeable difference in sound quality. It really is.
Mm-hmm. It is really that much better. As I said, you wouldn't expect it. And I mean, the price hasn't changed. Like,
no, same price, yeah.
It's like you wouldn't expect that they're that much bigger or that much better.
Yeah, only thing it did was that the case is just slightly bigger when you put them next to each other. Yep.
So slightly different shaped, I would say. It's not shape, bigger or smaller. It's, I think,
A little wider.
Yeah, it's a little bit wider, but also a little bit thinner. If you look at it side by side, so they smooshed it a little bit.
Oh yeah, you're right. It is better.
Huh. So apparently someone sat on the primary mold.
Yeah, they're like, sure, I guess that's what we're shipping now.
It still fits. So
it's fine.
Go with it.
Yeah, let's just go with it. Yeah. Looks different. Okay, let's just keep that.
Yeah. Hey, since maybe the cat sat on it. The cat sat on it. Cat heat warms it up, kind of shrinks down a little bit. Yeah, that makes sense.
Did you just say cat heat? Is that what you just said?
That's exactly what I said, Chuck.
Okay. Oh, that could go wrong so many ways. Yes. Okay.
Different from people heat. Because it comes from a cat.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, moving on.
Moving on.
All right, yeah, since we're not doing stuff in the right order today, Dave, how's it going?
I'm doing great, thank you. Yes, I was wondering about that. Glad it's Friday, working from home, and I'll take a little bit of time here to be with you guys, and excited about some of these new products. I tell you, as you couldn't tell, we've been going on about it here a little bit. So,
yeah, yeah. And Chuck, how's it going for you today?
It's going good, right up to cat heat, and then it took a turn. Yeah,
that's
it's
on
good.
You.
Yeah, I want to echo Dave's comments. Yeah, I have not partaken of some of the other new products, but the 17 Pro Max, yeah, I'm really liking a lot. I think I'm also echoing Patrice too. I was surprised at just some of the noticeable differences. You know, they're not huge, but they're noticeable. Mm-hmm. And for a product that is claims to be just iterative, or at least claimed by so many of the pundits to be iterative, I think it's a little more than iterative.
All yep. right. Cool. And Patrice, how's it going for you?
Don't ask. No, it's okay. It's been a week. Between travel and flights getting delayed and then having to spend the night at a crappy hotel paid by the airline, stuff like that. It's been a bit of a week. And like no sleep, yeah. Of course. Like arrived at the hotel around 10, went to bed around 10:30, woke up at midnight, couldn't sleep, and I had to get up at 3 a.m. So for a 6 a.m. flight again.
At some point, you just figure out why bother.
Exactly. Yeah. I was like, whatever. I'm like, I slept on the plane a little bit, so it was okay.
The fact that you're here and functional.
All good. No, it wasn't today. It was Monday. So that was Sunday to Monday. So like on the way back was perfect. So I got really good food. Swiss Airlines is always good. Yeah. Back since Wednesday. Full schedule. I haven't even had time to go grocery shopping or anything.
That's definitely a full schedule.
Mm-hmm. I literally rushed out yesterday morning before my first meeting at 8:40, I think. I rushed out to the store across the street just to get milk. Because I neither had oat milk nor cow milk. So I was like, that I probably need.
Yeah, I can see that. So Chuck, have you ever milked oats before?
I think I asked you that question, Jeff. Yes.
Yeah, yeah, you did.
I believe
my response was
isn't that what you do when you press oats?
I suppose so. You know, so for the oats, getting milked is a much bigger commitment than it is for a cow.
Yes.
Well, that's why I've often wondered why they didn't call it oat juice as opposed to oat milk. I mean, it does conjure up a completely different delivery method.
It does. Yeah. And here, I'm assuming it's marketing.
Yeah. Here it's actually called oat drink because in Europe, milk is a protected product category.
Oh, my God.
Can only come from animals.
Which actually does make sense.
No, but it's also EU. It's very EU.
But it's also EU, yeah.
Everything has to be put into laws and controlled and measured and whatever. Bananas have to have the right angles of everything. Right sizes. The right amount of yellow, all of that. That's the EU for you.
All right, Chuck. So, would you drink soy juice?
That's a fair point. I might try it but now I'm so ingrained into oat milk, soy milk, you know, milk mm-hmm. that, you know, I it would give you pause. So I've been conditioned.
Yeah, no, totally get it.
That's my excuse, and I'm sticking to it.
Yep. All right, so we should probably talk about a little bit of news stuff. And Chuck, I was thinking of you.
I've developed this reputation.
We both were.
Yeah. Yeah. But before we dive into that, Dave, you put so much work into putting together show notes for In Touch with iOS, and then you let us crib from them.
And then we completely ignored it. No.
Well, I mean, today, I mean, okay, this story happened today. So unless Dave had a TARDIS, there was no way he was going to be able to cover this last night. But Dave, you deserve a shout out all the time because you're incredibly generous by letting us use your show notes.
Jeff, I thought this show existed in non-linear time.
Well, it does, but I just pointed out Dave doesn't have a TARDIS.
Hmm.
That's the problem.
That is a problem.
I'm going to buy new iPhones and Apple Watches, and now I don't have the money to go buy a TARDIS.
No, Dave has one somewhere behind him. We know that.
It's within arm's reach, I have no doubt.
Yes.
Yeah. So, well, anyhow, Chuck, the story for you. Apple, they have filed their response to the class action lawsuit in the United States over the Siri features that were announced at WWDC last year, promised, showed off in ads, and then not delivered when the iPhone 16 and whatever version of iOS we had last year was released.
What, do you want me to respond to this? Is this it, like the trained monkey?
I think we have a show title.
I think we do.
Trained monkey.
You know, if there's been one class action suit that might have some validation, this might be it, because only because of the advertising, that maybe Apple did do a little bit of an overreach and what would appear to be an overpromise. So I want to be fair about that. I think that some of this is just, you know how I feel about these class action suits. They're money grabs. This one, I still don't think I'm having a hard time believing that anybody actually bought an iPhone 16 because of this promise. But I'm way too much into the echo chamber to make an objective judgment. So maybe this one should see the light of day. I'll go that far.
You know, outside the echo chamber, if you are making your purchase decisions based on advertising, then I can see where there would be a problem with this. Now, yeah. Apple, their response is that the limited delay in the feature releases doesn't support the plaintiff's sweeping claims. And then Apple goes on to say that they made it clear from the beginning that the features that they were advertising were going to be rolled out over time and would, I'm doing air quotes here, continue to evolve. So Apple claims that the fact that they advertised these features, but they weren't actually available, isn't a problem because they're planning on rolling them out over time. What I would love to see is Apple's response to, well, you know, you promised these features last year. Here's the laundry list of the ones you still haven't delivered. So how does that fit into released over time?
Air, what was it called? The Air Mat thingy?
Oh, right. No.
Air power.
Yeah,
air power.
You know, so let me do two responses. First of all, I think there's some validity to that, you know, this stuff has rolled out over time. And I'm not convinced that, you know, if you think about the those components, yes, they have not been available. Sorry about that. But at the same time, that didn't make the iPhone 16 not work. It just didn't work with those particular features. Mm-hmm. And the second point is, anybody that believes advertising 100%, you know, as a make or break for their purchase decision, I mean, yeah, okay, then I challenge you to go out and buy a car from any of the car commercials and have it perform, or have you perform in the car like those cars perform, you know, by, you know, running up mountains and running through, you know, blizzards.
Folding reality.
Yeah, I mean, come on, you know. So, again, money grab, you know, but this one, maybe they deserve a little bit of something, mm-hmm. you know. I will give that. I mean, 90% of them.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, other than that, basically all those lawsuits are frivolous, in my opinion. There is some. I think I said that before. There's some validity to this one. Like Apple, Apple knows that they have a certain responsibility with what they advertise. If they say this is coming, and we're selling the phone with this feature and advertise it as us, then you cannot say, well, it's coming in 5 years. You would have needed to say it's coming in 5 years or soon or mm-hmm. next year or whatever, which they do sometimes. They're like, it's coming next year. Okay, next year is a long time. Can do that. But if they say this is basically ready and it's shipping and they advertise it as such and then it doesn't ship, then some people might have based their decision on that. And I think there's a argument to be made, at least in principle, that was wrong.
Yeah.
Does that mean the lawsuit will go anywhere or is correct, or they what the damages actually are? Like, is it whatever, 5 cents? I don't know.
I mean, Patrice, you just hit the other part of it. You know, okay, is Apple potentially guilty here?
Yeah,
okay, I could see how someone would judge that, but what are the actual damages, you know? Mm-hmm. And look, what did we just see? Over $1 billion penalty to Amazon, and the projections are that affected parties will get back $51.
Yeah,
I mean, come on.
Yeah, you know, I mean, but also to be fair, that is a. I mean, part of it is the system that's rigged, where like the lawyers get most of the money. That's one part of it. But on the other hand, if there is a lot of like plaintiffs and a lot of people affected by it, then for sure, yeah, I mean, that does, like, you don't get a lot. But the question is more, what are the real damages? Like, by you buying an iPhone that doesn't have the feature that you expected to have, what's the real damage here? Would you, like, most people probably would have bought it anyway. And you have a new phone. Like, the value is, I don't think the value is any less of the phone just because you don't have the new Siri feature. At least that's my opinion on it. So, yeah, damages.
Well, damages and the degree to which the phone was not usable is, I think, are the two biggest things here.
Yeah.
That if you're going to slide over to the damages side and bifurcate it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if you said, I don't know, that the phone has 200 hours of battery life. Let's just pick a ridiculous number, 200 hours. And then it has two. So you have to basically buy an extra battery pack just to make it through a day. Okay, that is, I think, a real damage that you can, like, you can see, you can argue with, you can see the cost that you incurred because it wasn't what was promised, whatever. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
A Siri feature that is not as far developed as it should be, as it was promised. I don't know what the money value for that would be.
Okay. So,
monetary. Yeah.
A couple of the last lawsuits, class action lawsuits against Apple that have wrapped up. One of them was the Butterfly Keyboard lawsuit, and apparently, I was one of those people that hit the max payout for that, which was like $300. And then I just got a notice of payout for some other class action lawsuit. That
I think I got that too.
I don't even know exactly what it was. I could go back and find out.
Yeah.
But I got like
$4. I think it was iCloud or something.
Yeah, it might have been an iCloud thing.
Yeah,
I got $4.
I think because I got that one as well, because I was in the US at
that
point.
I think that was it. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, anyhow, point is the real winners in these lawsuits, you're right, it's the attorneys. And
always.
Yeah. And at the same time, it's important to have truth in advertising.
Yes. And you know, if there was like, I don't know, a government agency that was tasked with monitoring that and handing out penalties and it was actually working, maybe.
Wouldn't that be great?
That would be an idea, right?
That's a brilliant idea. Yeah. So, anyhow, yeah, so there's that. I'm assuming that this next story, which also, Dave, you found this today. Yeah, we're doing the Let's Trigger Chuck show. I'm thinking. So this one is a U.S. specific story, but I suppose it could have repercussions in other countries.
Could, yes.
At some point. Trump did an executive order, and so the TikTok operations in the United States are going to be taken over by, I haven't even read the piece yet, so I don't remember if it was like a consortium of companies or, anyhow, there's going to be some group in the U.S. that's going to have TikTok control.
It is. I think one, it's being led up by Oracle's Larry Ellison.
Okay. And I'm assuming, without having read exactly what came out of the order and the agreement, that it is still in line with what we were hearing before, which is that it's not an ownership of TikTok, the company. It is like a separate company that manages U.S. TikTok data within the continental U.S. borders.
Right.
Okay, good. So go me. I actually remembered something.
Wow. What did you remember?
Oh, crap.
No, you've forgotten what you remembered.
Well, you know, memory like a goldfish.
Be a goldfish. Yeah, I mean, acquisition by decree is really interesting.
Yeah.
And government taking a cut, also interesting.
Yeah, not a typical procedure for the United States.
No, wait. I think it is.
Well, okay, it is now.
It is now.
Yeah. Historically, it was not,
okay.
The way it was done.
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing spans three administrations now, and I don't know if the problem is solved, you know, the original problem with Chinese influence or Chinese access to data. Not sure that solved it, because the algorithm is still owned by ByteDance.
Right.
So I don't know if that really solves the problem. But I'm also not sure there is a solution. So I think it is what it is.
I don't think. Oh, go ahead, Dave.
The other investors are Rupert Murdoch is one of them, and Michael Dell.
Mm-hmm. Edison, Murdoch, Bell. There was one more. I think, wasn't it? Actually, Rupert Murdoch and the other Murdoch. There's two of them.
Matt Murdoch, Daredevil.
Maybe. or A-Team could also be. What was the name of Murdoch in A-Team?
I just remember him as Howling Mad Murdoch.
Yeah, exactly. That guy.
So, I don't, somehow I don't feel any better about this. Also, no. I feel like something I've said previously about this whole thing. Yeah, I gotta say it again. Okay, great. Political. Now do meta. Because you know, if you're worried about manipulation of information and who's collecting what they're doing with it, and you're focused just on TikTok, you're kind of missing the bigger picture here.
Mm-hmm.
That's just me.
Yeah.
And Chuck, now that you're back.
Yes.
Did we trigger you at all?
He doesn't even know what we're talking about.
No, I knew.
TikTok executive order.
You know, the way that this administration is handling technology is across the board, not just TikTok, but across the board, is interesting in so many ways and a little disturbing in others. You know, so are we going to look back at some of these things as being signposts to what's ahead? Or are they just going to be aberrations? I don't know. I'm frankly happy with some of the things. I'm happy with the way that they've pushed back on the EU and kind of warned the EU to stop using American tech companies to fund European operations by these huge, ridiculous fines. But on so many other things, I'm not sure that it's good for the future. So,
is TikTok, you know, good for the future?
Patrice, you know, look, I will play devil's advocate on it, because I am not a TikTok user. There are a lot of people across the world are making a living on TikTok.
Yes, you know, doesn't mean it's good.
Exactly. Yeah. You took it right out of my mouth. You, there are also people making a living selling heroin.
Oh yes,
so a lot of, you know. So, you know, you go back and forth. I mean, I was frankly shocked at the public outrage from people using TikTok that when it was banned originally, or was, they were trying to ban it, that, oh my God, you're going to take away my livelihood. Well, you shouldn't have built it on TikTok anyway. That's another discussion. So, you know, we're seeing so much change, and it feels like some of these changes are reminiscent of changes we've already seen in the past as computers came more to the fore and, you know, oh my God, we're going to lose, switchboard operators are losing their jobs. And, you know, they're now transcriptionists are losing their jobs, and you can go right on down the line. And yes, those statements standalone are true, but the gains were, I think, well worth the sacrifices, and adjustments have to be made. Is that what we're seeing here? Is that what we're in the middle of and just don't have the perspective to see it? I don't know. Wish I did.
All right, Chuck, I'm going to do a devil's advocate.
Please.
You pointed out a lot of people were freaking out because their livelihood came from posting their content on TikTok. And the notion that maybe they shouldn't have relied on a social media platform like TikTok to make a living. I mean, there is value, there's merit in what you said. Here's where the devil's advocate part comes in. TikTok is, at its core, a cloud service.
Yes.
Right? How many companies make their living by relying on a cloud service like Shopify? So, In that sense, relying on TikTok to generate revenue for you isn't that different than relying on other cloud services to generate your revenue. They could go away at any time. Shopify isn't going to, but at any cloud service that we rely on to generate our revenue becomes a weak point because it could just disappear at any moment.
Jeff, that's a great point. And look, I don't want anybody to think I'm advocating one way or the other in this part of the discussion. I would say that there are other channels that you could use, and in theory, TikTok is the TikTokers would say, is that the proper term, TikTokers? Whatever.
Sure, let's roll with it.
Yeah, would say, oh my God, that's the only place that I have to distribute my information and to get my word out. Well, no, not really. There are plenty of others. They each come with their own problems, mm-hmm. and opportunities. But you make a very fair point but if anybody is smart, they aren't just relying on any one of these channels. And I'm not sure that's not how some of these people see it. Plus the fact that it seems to be their most effective channel. But hey, YouTube, mm-hmm. YouTube did it. YouTube started to insert ads and, maybe not block people necessarily, but also put limitations on what they could do on the YouTube service. So I guess the biggest difference I see is the manipulation part, that if you are selling something via an online service, that's kind of what you're doing. Mm-hmm. You might be trying to you might be doing it as being pro, free Ireland or something. I don't know what I'm talking about, but if your product had to do with a political message or a political stance, then yeah, you're trying to influence it. But if you're just straight selling, there's no chance or not as much opportunity for influence. Mm-hmm. But here, the algorithm has the opportunity to manipulate things, put things in front of you, show you things. Mm-hmm. And that's where I see the difference. And that's the concern. And, whether an Americanized algorithm will eliminate some of that concern. And it's going to have to be a wait and see.
Yeah. And a social media platform is not the same thing as an online shopping cart platform.
Correct.
But, still, I was playing devil's advocate there.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think we both are, Jeff. And that's where, do I share some of your concerns? Absolutely. I just don't know how concerned I need to be over it, but I am concerned.
And that's fair. Hey, did you know we have a sponsor? And that sponsor is Awe Technologies. And if Ewan was here, he would do just an amazing job of telling us about them because he knows so much more about Awe Technology than I do. The gist is that if you need to have monitoring, video, environmental for whatever your project is, one of the big things they do is railroad, then that's the place to go. And they're going to take care of you, and they're going to be awesome, and you're going to get your money's worth. So what they're doing is giving us all the server space and the hosting. They're covering what we need, the back end stuff, so that we can do what we do. So without Awe Technology here to help us out, we wouldn't be able to live stream shows every week. We wouldn't have a place for all the shows to live, so you could go and watch and listen to your favorite episodes over and over. And we wouldn't have a place for the chat archive either. So, hey, thank you to Awe Technologies for being here. And go check them out. What is it? awetechnologies.co.uk, I believe. Did I get it
correct,
right, Patrice?
Awe Technologies, awetechnologies.co.uk. Yes.
There correct. We go. So thank you, you rock. And I did mention the live chat. Patrice, do you mind telling people about that?
I don't mind at all. It's a really cool live chat. We have cool people in there talking to us while we're recording. We record every Friday, 4 p.m. UK time for this very show, the Mac Show. By the way, also Thursdays, 7 p.m. UK time, usually at least for the big show. Yesterday we had a little meltdown of not having any hosts because all of us were out doing other things that were important. But usually we're there. Check our social media, our website, Slack room, whatever. We will tell you if you're not there. And head over to live.britishtechnetwork.com for the live stream. And you know, like you've seen it. Like, looks like YouTube, looks like Twitch. Video on the left, chat on the right. There's a box, start typing. It generates really funny names, like the Trusting Cherry I saw, for example. So we have cool names that get generated. If you don't like them, you can change it up top. There's a purple button. Hit change name and then change it. If you want, you can also kind of register your name if you have a Fediverse account, like Mastodon, like that. PixelFed, all of them. You can basically do an authentication. It sends you a message with a code. You enter it, and then you claim that username. So nobody else can log in and change the name to Patrice, for example, because my name is reserved and registered. So, and you get a little verified checkbox next to it. So just saying, but not needed. You can literally just go in, start typing, talk to us. And there's a transcript for it. So we put the links in the chat usually, like the NPR article, for example, that we were talking about, or the MacRumors article we were talking about earlier about the delayed Siri lawsuit and whatever. Head over to britishtechnetwork.com/chat. Pick a date, any date on the calendar, somewhere between 2015, I think, and now. I would recommend Fridays or Thursdays if you're interested, because that's when the shows were. The other days are kind of boring or not even existing. If you pick today's date, September 26, 2025, then you would see everything we talked about today in the chat.
Awesome. Thank you for doing that, Patrice. You are much better at that than I am. So with that, it's now time to do some cool things. And
hey Jeff.
Oh, Jeff. Chuck.
Can I interrupt? I wanted to just do a quick PSA on an iOS 26 thing that I had that was annoying me. And I don't know if it was my fault. And honestly, I don't even know if this was a feature in the prior version of the OS, because I just was using it. But when I upgraded to the OS, I found that my call feature screen looked completely different. And what I've eventually discovered is I had unified turned on.
I think that's 26 feature.
Is it okay? So if just a warning, if you find it confusing or distracting or not useful, because everything felt jumbled up to me, voicemails and missed calls and made calls, you can go up in the top right of the screen and select, I think it's called Classic.
Classic.
Everything will go back to the way it was. And usually I fight to try to adopt the new way, but this one just really was a detriment for me. And I wanted to make sure that people knew they could get it back, because I had to do just a little bit of research to find out that it was a feature. It's just not a feature that suits me. So for what that's worth, I think it was worth sharing.
That's a great PSA. I am using the unified interface right now because I just want to experience it. But I am finding that it's difficult for me to pick out my my voice messages between the calls.
Yeah.
So I may have to switch back.
Yeah, it's a unified inbox for email is great. Unified call log, the calls, I'm not so sure I'm in for that, because it was annoying me. Let's put it this way. It was annoying me enough for the week I've had the phone to go and get it changed. And now I'm delighted because everything's back the way it is and I can buzz between what I need to. So,
yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So PSA more than a cool thing.
So awesome. And Dave, Now we'll talk about your cool thing. But you're muted.
So you're talking about it. We just
because I like
hear.
To be talking to myself. But yes, I just found this today and I ordered it. It's from Rode. I love Rode's products. As everybody knows, my Rodecaster duo here and a lot of Rode mics, and they make great products. They came up with a Rode hub. It's a high performance USB hub, and it's 100 watts for power. Has six USB-C ports. Both all are up to 10 gigs, as well as one USB-A port at 5 gigs. Also has an SD card and micro SD card readers built in. The UHS 2 speeds, up to 60 watt pass-through. And I found this insanely impressive. It's got the six USB connections, as well as it has the one port host for the host device for the monitor, and as well as one input for power. $149 and brand new. I haven't seen any reviews on it yet, so I'm really looking forward to getting this and using this. And I think we're all crazy about having, especially having USB-C ports. You know, a lot of our hubs don't have that many. Six is pretty nice, so I must say. So I'll report back once I get it, but I wanted to give advance.
That's super cool.
Jump and grab it.
All right. Well, I'm looking forward to your report.
Yep.
Okay. Who has the next cool thing? That would be Chuck.
Okay. So I'm throwing in two because they sort of go together and they fit in with our discussion today. When my 17 Pro Max arrived, I took it out of the box. I went to my dining room table and I installed the Amfilms screen protector. And this is just dead solid simple to install. It's all but idiot proof. So you almost have to work to not have this thing go on correctly. And you really have to work hard, unless you're just not going to go through the cleaning regimen, which takes maybe 30 seconds to make sure there's no dust on it. Other than that, it goes on. You don't even know it's there. And this is the one that I've used now for like the last 4, 5, 6 iPhones. And there are a lot of screen protectors out there from a lot of really reputable companies. This is the one that, you know, I've used, and it has, I know on at least one occasion, the screen protector has shattered, but the phone underneath did not. I have no way of knowing whether it would have shattered the screen without that protector on. I don't want to find out. So, and the best thing is these are pretty darn inexpensive, and you do get two of them for the price. The other thing I threw in was the other side, because the phone directly went into this Spigen case. Again, it's an inexpensive case, but it does provide some protection. And this way I had it wrapped up and protected from day one. And now I will be able to sort of evaluate all the cases as they come out from some of the other manufacturers that have other features and go from there. But just for a relatively small amount of money, I think it's less than $30 US, you can protect the front and back of your nice shiny new iPhone. One other thing that comes with the Amfilm is little tiny protectors that go right over your camera lenses. So they protect, and they have not affected the image quality, not even a little bit, but it protects them from scratches. And it's all part of the package. So that's an extra bonus if you go there.
Very cool.
But this, I mean, I did this before I powered the phone up the first time because I just didn't want to take any chances.
Nice.
I've got the SpyGen case too. I've been using the clear one. It's really nice.
Yeah, I got the black one. And you can sell, I don't know if you can see it. You can see the blue as opposed to the black case. But you know, hey, it works just fine.
Yep.
Nice. Patrice, do you have something ready?
If not, I'll do mine. Okay. I didn't put it in there. Mine is Slow Horses season 5. Just dropped the first episode. When was that? Wednesday? Thursday? Not today.
It was Tuesday.
Tuesday even. Time flies. Yeah. So season 5 just started. Really good first episode. Not going to tell you what happened, but you know, slow horses. It's like
it's really
it's just really good. It's really funny. Gary Oldman, like, he's just so good, like so delicious in like his kind of laziness, and I don't know. I don't know how to describe him. Like, it's he feels like it's a little bit slimy almost, but like not slimy mm-hmm. in a bad way, but slimy in like you don't want to touch him way.
Yeah, like physically slimy.
Physically slimy, like yeah, it's like ugh, so it's just so good.
That's a good pick. I enjoyed the episode.
Mm-hmm.
And they did exactly what they've done throughout the other seasons, where you get to the end of an episode and you're like, oh my god, I need the next one.
So true. And you really don't know what's gonna happen. Like, you think it's going one way and then it goes another way, and like it's just so good.
Yep.
Yes. And the funny thing is, every episode they have spoilers for the next, and at the end of the season they have spoilers for the next season. It doesn't matter mm-hmm. because like whatever they're telling you, they're probably lying.
Yeah.
Or not telling you the full truth, at least.
Yep. Okay, awesome
yeah.
pick.
Yeah, I remember like last season there was a big thing like for last season, like where you thought something happened, and in the spoilers for the season you thought something happened, and then it turned out to be a completely different thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. So all right, well, man, I feel like I should have stepped up my game for my pick for today with all this stuff. But, well, I guess for the right people, this is great. It's Lo-Fi Girl. This has been around for a while. And it's no secret that I listen to instrumental music when I'm writing, because I can't have... lyrics, otherwise I'm focusing on that instead of what I'm trying to write. And so I, you know, there's different Apple Music radio stations that I listen to for that, and I have different playlists, and one of the other things that I have in that mix is Lo-Fi Girl. And this is a YouTube streaming station where you have this animation of this this young woman, and well, the original, they have multiple music genres now, but she's sitting in a little cafe next to a window, and so the music's playing, and she's got her coffee cup or teacup, whatever it is. And it's drinking out of it every now and then, looks out the window. You can see stuff on the street, people interacting out on the street. And it's just this really chill jazz music, not smooth jazz, to be clear. This is not smooth jazz, but it's just like really chill, laid back jazz. And it's great for just having something to listen to while I'm writing. And but then if you want, you can also have the visual part. It's also an Apple Music streaming station, Spotify streaming station, so you can listen without watching the video part too. And it's totally free, and there's no ads that run in it. And so there, let's see, there's hip hop, and the one that I listen to is the jazz, and there's a they have a Pomodoro one, so if you're doing the Pomodoro thing, so that's kind of cool, and excuse me, that so you have stuff like for if you're trying to study. They have different ones for like if you're just trying to sleep. I haven't tried that yet. And that one for if you're gaming, anyhow, they just have a bunch of different stations now, and I really like it. So it's on my rotation of what I use when I'm writing. There you go. Hmm. Lo-fi girl.
Lo-fi.
Yeah. Okay. So with that, it is time to wrap up. And look, we're doing this part in order, at least. You know, the end part we're doing at the end. Dave, where can people find you?
Find me at InTouchWithiOS, InTouchWithiOS.com, YouTube channel, YouTube.com/InTouchWithiOS. I'm on the Vision Profiles podcast on Monday nights with Marty and Eric. Tuesdays on Mac Voices Live with Jeff and many of the others. Record InTouchWithiOS on Thursday nights. It's 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific on the YouTube channel. And then Fridays I'm here in social media, DaveG65, Blue Sky, and Mastodon.
Awesome. Chuck, where can people find you?
MacVoices.com is where you'll find me every day, releasing a new interview, part of our panel discussions on Mac Voices Live, which we record Tuesday nights, or just one-on-ones with some other interesting people.
Like Dave Ginsberg.
Yeah, he's a good example.
Yeah, check that one out. Well,
I don't know who he is, but I'm going to listen.
Yeah, he's an example. I don't know if it's a good example. He's a good example.
Yeah. Well, if you're not a good example, you're a bad example.
Well, no. Never mind. On the social medias, you can find me as at Chuck Joyner, trying not to insult Dave when I'm trying to make a joke. No. So.
We love you, Dave.
None taken. Love you, too.
Yeah. Dave, you want me to go rough up Chuck for you?
Oh, yes. No, okay. Chuck is gonna like Chuck likes that.
Lots of love here.
I think Chuck is into the rough stuff, so
wow. That's quite a jump, Patrice.
So Patrice, when you're not setting up Chuck and me for what could be exciting or awkward, where can people find you?
Well, every week here on The Big Show on Fridays, The Big Show on Thursdays, The Mac Show on Fridays. Everything I'm doing, all the social media links, the podcast, the projects, everything on my website, thepatrice.com. I will also be, what was it, October 15th to the 18th, I think, in Strasbourg in France at the Matrix conference. And I have a talk about Matrix in medical cross Europe communications, like using it as a bridge, basically, bridge protocol. So if you're there, let me know. I'll also post it on Instagram and LinkedIn and so on. And with you, Jeff, on Retro Rewatch, where we rewatch retro TV shows and have fun with it. And if I had looked up what the next episode is, I could tell you, but I did not.
I don't remember either.
Is it Dead Man's Switch? Sorry. I think it's Dead Man's Switch that's coming up.
Oh, okay, cool. Well, once again, I'm looking forward to seeing what we think of that episode. Awesome. All right. Well, then for me, Jay Gamut on the social medias and most active right now on Mastodon, Instagram, and PixelFed. And fair warning, we are only days away from Inktober starting. So be prepared for me to start posting whatever rando drawing each day of the month through all of October. Inktober. And if anyone wants to buddy up for that, let me know, because I'm all about having a little community that's inktobering together. So let's see. Then shows. Tuesdays on Chuck's Mac Voices Live. Thursdays on Dave's In Touch with iOS. Thank you to both of you for being so tolerant of me. You're saints. That's all there is to it. Then here on the British Tech Network for The Big Show and The Mac Show, Brian Chaffin and I do The Context Machine. And as Patrice pointed out, we do Retro Rewatch And with that, okay, we are wrapping up. Thank you to the three of you for just being so amazingly awesome and making me smile so much today. We live in a world where we need more smiles, so well done. Let's see. Well, we have people that have been here with us watching and listening to the show. So thank you to all of you for being here. Everyone that's been participating in the live chat, thank you for being part of that as well. All of you that watch or listen to the show recordings later on, thank you for being part of the BTN family as well. Ewan, thanks for being you. Muller, thanks for making sure we have people for shows. And hey, Awe Technologies, thank you for being our sponsor. So with that, hey, everyone, don't forget to join us next Thursday for the big show, where we will presumably have enough warm bodies. And then come back again on Friday for the Mac show. And all of you, have an awesome weekend.